So thankful this morning that that Lord that we just heard about that has been here all along, that He thought about me and He thought about you when He was on the cross. And that blood that was shed extended all the way backwards in time and forwards to where it could cover all of those that with an honest heart sought Jesus Christ and wanted Him to be first in their lives. Thank the Lord that it touches even me and you today. The psalmist said that this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And you know what? You know what stands out above all other things that gives us reason to rejoice today as we sit here in this place on this Sunday morning? It is captured in the Word this way: for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. And let's not forget the verse that follows it, because it said, for He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn us. He came to call the unrighteous to repentance this morning. And it said, whosoever believeth in Him, that includes me, it includes you, there's no one left out, there's no one excluded. The enemy can whisper in our ear and say, well, yeah, but you're, we talked about time in Sunday school this morning, window of opportunity. Your window of opportunity is past. You have things in your life that does not allow you to be reconciled with Jesus Christ. That is a lie of the enemy. While there is yet life, there is hope. And we are here today, and the Lord has invited us all to be redeemed by the blood that He shed on the cross. He came to bring us forgiveness in spite of our great need. He came to bring us salvation. He came to bring you resurrection of life and the indwelling presence of His Holy Spirit. These are gifts that He wants us to receive and to understand and to avail ourselves quickly, without delay. The Lord wants us to accept these beautiful, wonderful gifts. And so this morning, I am inspired to bring a series of what I hope are simple messages on salvation and baptism and the Holy Spirit. Maybe we'll just write those on the board. Salvation and then, Lord willing, we'll cover baptism. Let's see if I can write it right. Still not getting it. And the Holy Spirit. And this morning, by the help of the Lord, I would like to consider the simple plan of salvation. You know, since the very beginning, from the fall and the sin of Adam, every single person in this world is in very great need of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on our lives. Every single person is desperate to be covered by the blood of Jesus. We read in the third chapter of Romans in the 23rd verse, it says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned this morning, folks. There is not a one of us that will be able to get to the judgment on our own and be able to look at the Lord and say, Lord, I have lived a righteous life. Look at what I've done. I have earned my way in. Every single person, the Scripture says, have sinned. Sin is doing that which you know is wrong. You do it anyway. We turn away from God the Father and we live according to our carnal nature. And every person has been in the place of sin, and we are all in great need of Jesus Christ. In the 6th chapter of Romans, also in the 23rd verse, the Scripture says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, the consequences of sin is death. Folks, unless the blood of Jesus covers us, get a hold of this because it's very serious. Unless the blood of Jesus covers your life, there will come a time where there is no more opportunity for reconciliation. The wages of sin is death. Death will come. Eternal death. The Scriptures speak of eternal death and destruction and a hell. You know, when I was growing up, it seemed like there were more messages on hell. I remember being at Monarch as a young boy, and there were many messages that were preached about eternal hell and eternal fire and a very horrible place that would go on and on and on with no end. And it doesn't seem like we maybe hear as many what we'll call hellfire messages maybe as we used to. But you know what? The truth hasn't changed. That the Scriptures teach us that there is going to be a hell. Jesus teaches us that. He tells us that. There's going to be a place of separation where the people that are not received in peace will be cast into an everlasting fire that has no end, where there's no more opportunity to say, Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. Lord, would you allow your blood to cover me? No more opportunity. And the Scriptures teach us that it will go forever in eternity. It's hard to wrap our minds around an infinite nature of time where there is no more time. It just continues to go and go, and to think that we're separated from all that's good. See, that's what God is. God is good, and He's righteous, and He's light, and He is all of those things that define virtue. And to think about us being in that place where there comes a time where we're separated from all that is good and all that is light, all that is life. It's hard to imagine what that may be like, but there are people there this morning in hell. There is a judgment that is coming. And the Scripture said the wages of sin, and we read that all have sinned. All have sinned. And then it says the wages of that, the consequences, the paycheck that you get, the wages. All right? You have sin in your life, and because of sin, what we get from that is death, eternal death, with no hope, no more opportunity. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That doesn't take a lot of interpretation. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Folks, there are so many people that are deceived today. So many reasons that justify how we want to live. And we let days come and go, and weeks come and go, months come and years pass, and people continue to live in a deceived state, justifying the sin that is in their life. Reasons. Oh, we're so good with reasons. Lots of reasons that we justify why we continue to live like we're living, and why somehow, some way, it can be okay. But if we get to the end of time and there isn't something that has covered the wrong that's in our life, the wages of sin is death. And this says that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he gets very specific and he says, don't be deceived. Be not deceived. Listen, neither fornicators nor idolaters. Idolatry, that covers a lot. Those things that we can allow into our lives that get in between us and worshiping God. We begin to serve those things and allow them to have a supersized place in our lives, if you will, that get in between God and what He wants to be to us. Idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves, nor thieves, nor covetous. Whoa, covetous. Covetous, wanting, desiring, giving our lives after those things that they're going to pass away one of these days. And if that's what we give our lives to, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, taking advantage of other people, extortion, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the scripture says, simply put. And how true the verses are that says, what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? What is it worth? If we gain everything that we could possibly want, if we could just let it be according to what our flesh is drawn to, if we could have it all, all of the music that's unlike God, all of the entertainment, all of the fashion, the appearance, the things that we take in to our ears and to our eyes and to our flesh, and be able to live whatever lifestyle we want to live. If we could just have it all, what shall a man profit if in the end of it all he gains the whole world, but in the end the Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you, and casts us out into a hell that has no end. Oh, may God have mercy on us. What shall a man profit? Nothing. It goes on and says, or what shall a man give in exchange? Can you think of anything this morning that you would give in exchange? Well, my soul is at stake. I have eternity out ahead of me. But you know, this thing right here is very important to me. I'll give that in exchange. I want to say something in the fear of God this morning. There is not a single person, not one person in hell today, not one, that says, you know what? I know I'm down here for eternity and this is a hot, uncomfortable environment and it's dark and it's separated from all that's good and God can't be felt or seen anywhere, but you know what? I sure enjoyed what I had on earth. It was a good time and it sure was worth it. Not a single solitary person. Not a one. What shall a man give in exchange? There is nothing worth it. And yet we read that all of us have sinned and that the wages of sin is death. And since we have all sinned, don't you see the great need that we have of salvation? If that's the case, and it is the case, that we are in such great need today, well, why? Because God's mean? because he's just a harsh, mean judge that I'm going to have to stand before him, and I'm just not. He just wants his way, and I can't have mine. And he's just a mean judge. No, it's because God is perfectly right and righteous. He is the epitome of life and light and truth and all that's good. And so if I choose to be something different than that, he doesn't have any choice but to separate himself from those and that choose darkness over light. He doesn't have any alternative. But the wonderful hope of the gospel today is that the Lord looked down and he saw that the wages of sin is death. And I don't have any option but to separate myself from that is not light and not truth. I don't have any option but to separate myself from that which is unrighteous. And so the scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, when he looked down and he saw we were still sinners and we had unrighteousness in us and there was going to have to be a separation for eternity and the wages of sin is death and all have sinned and come short. And he looked at us while we were yet in sin and he loved us. And he cared for us. And he looked at our condition and he said, I don't want them to be lost forever. I don't want them to be in a hell away from me where there is no light and it's just darkness and there is no good and it's all bad. I don't want that for these people. And he looked down upon the world and he loved us and he looked at the whole thing and he realized there's only one solution. There's only one thing that can be done. All are guilty, but there is one that is yet innocent, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was willing to condescend from heaven and to come down upon this earth and become as the created, became as a man and humbled himself and became a servant to man, the ones that he created, to the ones that were yet in sin. And it said that he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross, Jesus Christ. And so the Son of God, who was innocent, who was king, was willing, because there was no way for me to earn my way in, no way for me to cover the sins that are in my life and be reconciled before God in of myself. And so Jesus looked at that and he was innocent. And so God was willing that he would give his only begotten Son and he would send him down to earth and he would pay the price. He would pay the price for the sins that are in my life. Sins that I couldn't pay for, that I couldn't make an atonement for. But because he loved me, because he loved you, He sent his own Son, and Jesus said, I'll go. I'm willing. And so he came down in great love, having no guarantees that people would turn to him. And he gave his life on the cross, and he shed his innocent blood. And that blood is what redeems us. That blood is what gives us an opportunity to be reconciled before God. So no, Jesus did not come to condemn us. He didn't come to say, I've got you there, and I saw what you did over there, and you are unrighteous over here. I'm going to make sure my Father knows that. No, he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that every one of us through Jesus Christ could be saved. Isn't that wonderful? When we were yet in a hopeless state, with eternity out ahead of us, God looked down with great love and made a way of escape. But this morning, I am fearful and I am concerned that there are many people that miss experiencing the plan of salvation. Get a hold of this. They miss the plan of salvation because they try to work out in their own minds. Before they're saved, before they're filled with the Holy Spirit, we begin to look at our lives and we see all that's wrong in our life. And we don't possibly see how we can make it right. We can get ourselves into some big messes, folks, in life. Sin is nasty. Sin creates cobwebs that just seem like they go everywhere. And we can live in sin and create situations and circumstances in our life that we don't know how to get out of. And we hear a gospel message like this morning, and we hear about the plan of salvation, and then we begin to think and contemplate our own situation and our own circumstances, and we don't see any way out. And we try to figure out, okay, well, God was willing and Jesus came, but then there's me and there's my life, and I've got this wrong and I've got this wrong, and I have this situation over here, and if I live for the Lord, then this has to be rectified because that can't happen. And we start to feel hopeless because we can't figure out how to make right all that's wrong in our lives. And so we feel hopeless. And we feel like that there's no way out. It seems like it is out of our reach. And so we make no change. We see no path for us as individuals. There is this thing called the human action model for change. We talked about it before. Maybe we will again. Before people make change in life, often, they have to be discontent with their current state. But people don't change just because they're discontent with their current state. You have to have a vision of a better state. But just because you're discontent with your current state, and just because you have a vision of a better state, many times people still continue to live in the state that they are in, even though they're discontent, even though they have a vision of a better state, and it is because they see no path for them to get to a better state. And so for people to change, they have to have a path to a better state. And there are people out in the world that are discontent, and they realize they have sin in their lives, and they lay their head down on their pillow at night, and they're not satisfied, and they feel a yearning and an emptiness and a realization that if God comes tonight, I don't know that I'm ready, and I don't like it, and I don't want to live this way. And maybe they hear a message, a gospel message, where the good news of the gospel is preached, and they begin to get a vision. Oh, well, so there is this possibility that people can be reconciled and made right with God and have peace in their heart. Oh, that would be wonderful to actually have peace in my heart and be able to lay my head down and be at peace and live my life with purpose and knowing that if the Lord comes tonight and knocks on my door and says, it's your turn tonight, that I can be found in peace. But then they begin to think about that, and they look at all the complications in their life, and they say, but I don't know how I could ever get there, because with me personally, well, this is in my life, and this is in my life, and I don't see a path to a better state. Brothers and sisters, this morning, Jesus Christ is your path to a better state. It is not you that creates the path in your power and in your strength. Jesus Christ is our path to a better state. He is the one that can make it happen. I can't make it happen on my own. Do I have a responsibility? Yes, I have a responsibility. But Jesus Christ this morning wants to do the heavy lifting for you. Jesus Christ can do things that are above and beyond all that we could ask or think. What is our responsibility? Our responsibility is be willing to submit. Recognize that your current state isn't good. Recognize that you have sin in your life. Admit and acknowledge, I am not in the place that I need to be. Be willing to follow the Lord. Be willing to say, Lord, I'll listen. Lord, I'll humble myself before the throne. Lord, I'll set my way to the side and allow you to lead me. That's our part. We quoted this morning, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, and believeth in him is translated into believeth into him. In other words, we believe it in such a way that we don't just say, I believe there's a God and Jesus was God's Son. James said the devils, they believe there's a God, one God too. They fear and tremble too. It's more than that, but we believe into it. Yes, Lord, my way isn't right. Your way is the right way. Lord, I give myself to you. Lord, I don't know how it can all come to pass. Lord, I don't have all the answers. Lord, I don't know how all these complications are gonna can be worked out. But Lord, I am willing to follow you. I am willing to listen to your voice. I'm willing to acknowledge that my way is wrong and that I have sinned and that I need forgiveness in my life. And 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Isn't that wonderful? That's our part. Yes, we have a part. Confess, acknowledge that where you are is wrong. Acknowledge if you have sin in your life. If you've allowed things in your life that you know isn't right. If you've opened the door to those places of the world where it has begun to come in and get a hold of your heart in areas that God wants, and he doesn't have a preeminent place in your heart, our place, our part is to humbly acknowledge to the Lord, Lord, I have a need. Lord, here it is. Lord, would you be merciful to me? Lord, would you forgive me? And Proverbs 28 says that he that covereth his sins, if we just cover them up, he shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. We can all do that, can't we? Can't we all do that? Can't we all humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I was wrong. Lord, I've had sin in my life. Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, would you help me? Can't we do that? Does that mean that we have achieved perfection on day one? Is that what that means? Does it mean that after day one, all wrongs are right? We have attained perfection, no other growth needed. All is smooth sailing from here on out. No, the Lord knows that we have great need of his patient help with us in life to lead us to possess ground that he has for us that we're not going to have on day one. The Lord delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, which was a type and a shadow of sin. And he delivered them, which was representative of us being saved. That first work where he comes and he delivers us from that that is wrong. But when he did that, the children of Israel, they still had places of growth. They still had ground they were going to need to cover. God still had a whole lot that he needed to teach them. They weren't perfected. And even after they crossed over into the Canaan land, which is a type of being filled with the Holy Spirit and being fully equipped, they still had land to possess. Even after they got over into the Canaan land, the Lord kept drawing them closer and closer. Then I've got more land for you. I've got more victories for you. And the Lord promised to go with them. He promised to be their God and they could be his people. Isn't that wonderful? And it's offered to all of us. And so this morning, the Lord, in the 11th chapter of Matthew, he invites us with, come unto me, all ye that labor. Come unto me, all ye that are laden with sin. Come unto me, all ye that labor with complicated situations of life that you're not sure how to take care of. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. not so he can saddle you with a yoke that's hard, but that you can be connected to Jesus Christ so he can help do the heavy pulling, so that he can do the heavy lifting for us, because we have places in our lives we don't know what to do. Haven't we all been there before? We look at our lives, we look at situations, and we say, Lord, I want to be saved. Lord, I want to do what's right. Lord, there's this thing that it has control over me. I feel like I'm in bondage to it. I can't, I've tried to get out of it before. Like, I don't know how to get out of it. Haven't we all faced those things? The Lord doesn't come by and say, well, I mean, if you should have told me that in the first place. If you're in that situation, well, I can't do anything for you. No. Jesus Christ stood up in the temple and he said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to preach the gospel to those that were blind and those that were in bondage and bruised and wanted to in captivity so that he could release us from that we can't get out of ourselves. Don't let the enemy cause you to not find salvation because you are not sure of how you possibly can get there. Because I want to tell you something, you can't on your own. Jesus Christ is your path to a better state. Don't try to get saved before you get saved. Don't think that you can make everything that's wrong right, live in a saved way, then you'll come to the Lord and get saved. Jesus Christ is the only one that can save us. Jesus Christ is the only one that can help us out of those places that we don't know how to get out of. And he offers in love to do that for us. How much better does it get than that? Why do we overcomplicate it sometimes? We overcomplicate it and feel like that we are the ones that have to carry the heavy burden, that we're the ones that have to figure out how to resolve all the complicated situations and circumstances of our life. The Lord bids us come that he can take ownership, be a partner with us with that load, and replace the load with the joy of salvation. That's what the Lord wants to do. Folks, this morning, yield yourself into the hands of the Master Potter. Yes, we have imperfections. Yes, there's places in our lives that about ourselves. That's our biggest enemy is ourselves. We look in the mirror and we're facing the giant in our life. That's like, that person right there causes me the most trouble. And it's not anybody but myself. And we look at that and we say, I can't change myself. I don't know what to do. I'm imperfect. I don't know how to be saved. That's why Jesus Christ came. He came because he's the potter. And if you'll be the clay and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, would you do something with me? Lord, in your mercy, would you help my imperfections? And if we'll yield ourselves into his hands, he'll begin to work with our lives. He'll begin to help us in the difficult situations and circumstances that we face as long as we yield ourselves to him. And he'll begin to create a vessel that is good and that it is to his honor, and a vessel that when he comes back and it's our turn to stand before him, he can look at us with a smile and receive us in peace. The prophet Isaiah said in the 43rd chapter, behold, I will do a new thing. A new thing. Now it shall spring forth. It'll surprise even you. This is what God does for us. So, well, I've tried. I don't know what to do. I've tried everything. Nothing works. This says the Lord will do a new thing. He'll do something you haven't thought of. You give yourself into the hands of the Lord. Give your situation to him. Let him do a new thing. It said, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In a place where it looks like there's no way possible. It's just wilderness. In a place, in a desert area where it looks like no possibility to get a drink of water. This says that the Lord can do that. I will make a way, not you, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This morning the Lord will do abundantly, exceedingly above all we ask or think if we will be willing to put ourselves into the hands of the Lord. Our part is to be willing to humble ourselves. It's simple. The gospel message was never intended to be complicated. The salvation message was never intended to be an obstacle course. The salvation message was such that the thief on the cross, all he had to say was, "Father, remember me, Lord, remember me when thou goest into thy kingdom." And the Lord looked up on him and he saw a humility of heart. He saw that that man recognized the place of sin that he was. And Jesus said, "This day thy soul shall be with me in paradise." That's the good news of the gospel. It's not intended to be complicated. It's intended to reach every single one of us that is here today if we'll accept it. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me." That's our part. Our part. "Call upon the Lord, and ye shall go and pray unto me." That's our part. "Pray unto the Lord, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me." That's our part. Seek the Lord. We can all do that. It's within our reach. "And ye shall find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Yes, there's a commitment. But it is a commitment that is within reach of every single one of us today. It is a commitment that brings life and light and truth. This morning we have so much to rejoice in. We have so much to be happy about because Jesus Christ came to save us from that we could not save ourselves from. Let's avail ourselves of the gift of salvation. If you're here today and you're not sure if you're saved, redeem the time. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you've lived for many, many years in church, here in this building. Maybe you've been raised from a child up. But maybe the enemy has been able to take advantage of you and you're just not sure. The Lord wants you to be sure today. The Lord wants us to know that He is the path to a better state. That there is a place for us of peace and rest. And it is a path that goes through Jesus Christ. Oh, this morning, let's forget those things which are behind, the doubts and the fears and the complications. If we could set those to the side and reach forth unto those things which are before, let's purpose to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The gift of salvation is key to our victory this morning, and it is within reach of every single person here this morning because our path is through Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord this morning that He's called all of our names. Let's avail ourselves and listen and heed to His call. There's a song that we sing, number 420, "Behold What Love." Could we stand and sing that song? "Behold What Love."